Notes up.
Don't really need too many notes for this one.
Yeah, this is a pretty simple one.
But just to character names. It's
my security blanket.
Yeah.
There are one or two direct quotes that I want to make sure I have the wording on. Yeah. Welcome back to Super Rankings, where you can come for Superman,
but stay for Darkseid.
Yep, he's back.
He's here.
He's here, and so are we. I'm your head scientist, Ben Creighton.
Hey, it's Kenny Wendorski.
We watched Father's Day.
Yes.
It is nowhere close to Father's Day in real world terms right now. I didn't plan this well.
We are actually going to be facing Labor Day.
Yes, yeah, you and I are having very opposite... I'm looking forward to a nice relaxing 3-day weekend because I work for the government.
And I will be going through hell.
Yeah, Kenny works in the hospitality industry.
Yeah, this is our third busiest weekend of the year, so we got to just bang this out, and then it's smooth sailing till spring break of next year. So this is our last hurrah. I just got to shake off the cobwebs and just suck it up and get out there. And and I was kind of hoping we might get rained out because earlier forecasts were showing like it might be a little rainy this weekend, but now it's looking... not gonna happen, so shit. I gotta actually do stuff.
Well, we did stuff today. We watched Superman.
That we did.
We watched Father's Day, and we open up, and it's a space pod from space.
That's, yeah. It's, well, you get a good look at the planet.
Yep, yeah, that's true.
It's got that Jack Kirby-esque, I don't know how to describe it. It's like super black... curly dots. It's hard to describe.
Yeah, it's a very particular aesthetic, and yeah, get used to this particular panning establishing shot of the planet Apocalypse with the fire coming out and the surface seeming to be metal, and because the more time we spend here, we're going to be seeing this particular. I'm pretty sure they reused this exact establishing shot in a few episodes.
Yeah,
but yes. Remember Darkseid from Tools of the Trade? Remember Bruno Mannheim? They're back.
They're all back.
Yep. We've got a hooded man here on Apocalypse looking through a view screen at a Metropolis park. He is remote controlling this orb space pod, invaders from Mars, very H.G. Wells.
Yeah, it looked like the gizmo in the Incredibles movie.
Yeah!
It's got the you know, octopus arms, it's made of metal, it's like a sphere.
It was meant to gauge Mr. Incredible's strength. Guess what this one's for?
So it's a scenic area, it's people are jogging, people are playing frisbee. One of those joggers is Lois Lane. She's young, she's attractive, she's wearing a jogging suit.
Yes, a very brief jogging suit with a lot of midriff showing. Little something for dad who might be watching with his kids. It's Father's Day. Here you go, Dad.
And this killer sphere is just causing havoc.
Yep.
And she takes out, I believe it's called a cellular phone.
Yes. So this was, it might not look much like a cell phone as you or I know it, because see, in the before time, in the long, long ago,
yes,
they had much smaller screens. They had these... I don't even know how to pronounce it. Boutons?
And she takes out something called an antenna. Antenne?
It's a double entendre.
That's right.
Yes.
And she makes a phone call to the front desk and says, I want you to record everything that's about to happen.
Yes, because phones could not just do that on command. You had to call a person to press record.
And let them listen to the madness that's ensuing.
Yeah, and Clark, down there at the office, overhears that with his super hearing as he's talking with Jimmy Olsen, saying, oh yeah, my parents are visiting for Father's Day.
That's the whole gimmick here.
Yep.
It's Father's Day.
Everybody's father. Everybody's got a father. Probably.
Yeah, yeah. And so Jimmy, he's kind of like, oh yeah, that's cool. And then, of course, he does that disappearing act that he does.
Yep. Yeah, Clark pulls a Batman on Jim Gordon and just pieces out. Has to go quickie changing into Superman and punch a space orb for a while.
Which he does.
Yep.
Does it very well. The space orb He takes it and throws it up in the air, and it explodes. You think Superman's dead, but of course you don't really think that.
Yep, and of course we see this from the perspective of our mysterious hooded man on Apocalypse. We learn his name, Desaad.
It almost looks like, remember Ninja Turtles, the Technodrome had that's what the whole time I was thinking that. The portal thing, or the dimensional gateway thing.
Yep, and Darkseid shows up and kind of shakes his head and says, I thought this your space pod was supposed to kill Superman, and you didn't kill Superman. You're bad at this. I hate you. I'm Darkseid.
And the hooded man says, No, this was supposed to just gauge his strength. My next contraption, that will be the one that destroys Superman.
Yeah, and Darkseid says, No next contraption, no second chances. Bruno Mannheim's in the mix. He says, I could take some of your dope Apocalypse guns and go waste them. Let me get the old gang back together. Darkseid's not into that either.
You fail me once, that's it. You don't get a second chance.
Yep. And then a third figure who we have not met yet, voiced by Star Trek The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine's Michael Dorn.
Hyperkeratosis? Symptom. Persistent, itchy, flaky scalp.
Hey! It's our Star Trek reference.
Yeah, he comes in, he's this big, it's one of our weird alien designs, not much of a neck on him, has a very broad-shouldered, kind of stoop-kneed gait to him, and he's very hairy.
Like a hunchback, he almost looks sort of like an ape, but... not quite.
Yep, but he's being very respectful to Darkseid. He says, please, sire, give me the honor. And Darkseid shakes his head, says, nope, this is too important, and I think you'd screw it up. And Mannheim makes makes a comment about, why does Darkseid even keep that? His name's Kalibak, by the way. Why does Darkseid even keep that Kalibak guy around? And Darkseid says, oh, questioning Darkseid's judgment, are we? Eye lasers!
And he teleports him to the pit.
The pit of slavery and whips.
And he's got a shovel and put it all in the furnace.
Yep, apparently we are an extremely high-tech culture that can teleport across long distances and create sophisticated robots. But we still use slaves for labor, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know if we'll see Mannheim again. I really don't. But, yeah, this seems to be a cruel fate for our leader of Intergang.
Yep. So, he's off suffering, and Darkseid goes off to do whatever Darkseid does when nobody else is around. And Desaad and Kalibak are talking over, man, we really wanted to kill Superman. Kalibak especially is... It comes out that Darkseid is apparently his father, and he just wanted to impress Daddy.
And the hooded man says, well, you know, I can open up a portal, and if you go to Earth and kill him, I bet you'd be the favorite.
Yep, Kalibak sees right through it. He says, and, you know, distract Darkseid from the fact that you suck. And Desaad says, well, I mean that too, but mostly he would love you and give you hugs.
Yes, so... yes. They both agree, and he pushes a boom tube. It's a portal.
Yeah.
But they call them boom tubes.
Yes.
It's a portal. Yes. And off he goes into it to head towards Earth.
Yep. So Clark is at the Daily Planet office teaching Ma and Pa Kent this alien technology known as electronic mail. Very futuristic. That's M-A-I-L. It's not like Data.
No.
Data from Star Trek.
Yes.
Who is an electronic mail. This is mail like send through the mail like a letter.
Yes.
Very clear about that.
And I guess Ma Kent was thinking about getting a computer. And of course, Pa Kent's like, we don't need no fancy technology out on our farm.
Yeah, herd-a-der.
Durga-durga-doo. And so... But Lois Lane's like, yeah, it's pretty neat. See, check this out. I send the story. Or actually, Clark says that. He pushes the button, sends the email to the chief.
Yep.
And they're ready to go to lunch. It's Father's Day.
Yeah, and Ma and Pa Kent, apparently they've heard some stories about this pretty lady what Clark works with. I feel like they're trying to get a little matchmaker-y. They're inviting her. Would you like to come out to lunch with us?
And Lois says, well, sure. If you've heard good things about me, why wouldn't I?
Yeah, and did you notice Clark? He doesn't seem keen on this idea.
He's a little nervous. Does the whole, you know, like, oh, boy. Hat him to the collar.
Ooh.
Hey.
Yep. But they go out to lunch, and who should show up but Kalibak busting up the place. And the whole second act is a big, lots of punchy.
Now, did you notice that our host was the character design of the ventriloquist?
Yes! The host at the restaurant, yes, he looked ventriloquist AF.
And he even had that voice, yep. And we do know for a fact that that voice actor is the voice of the chief. So that's fun.
Yeah?
Maybe the ventriloquist... Now that he's all...
He's better.
He's better.
The last time we saw him, he was cured.
Would you stay in Gotham City?
Heck no. I'd want to... bad memories. You don't want things to get triggered that might bring out certain other personalities.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Go out to sunny Metropolis.
Yeah. So good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that nice to catch up with old friends?
And, but, you know, this alien smashing up this fancy place called Minerva.
Yep.
And, Pa Kent, everyone's like evacuating, but Pa Kent's like, why I yada?
He turns around after Lois says, quick, we've got to get out. The roof is caving in. He's causing such a ruckus. And mere steps from safety, Pa Kent turns around and says, hold on, I got to find this exact quote. Someone should take that bruiser down a peg.
Yep.
Literal alien creature attacking this restaurant.
And destroying this restaurant.
Yes.
We're talking pillars, concrete.
Yeah. The entire building is coming down.
But Pa Kent's going to go fisticuffs.
He's going to throw down.
With this alien entity. But of course, no. The ceiling falls on Pa. He's not dead. He's just trapped.
Yes. And this is about when Superman swoops in. He wants to save Pa Kent. But Kalibak's in for a little punchy.
And the rest of this episode is going to be just various different locations of punchy.
Yep. Superman gets punched out of the restaurant. They punch each other some more. Ma Kent and Lois Lane are watching the goings-on. And Ma Kent says, oh, after a particularly good punch at Superman's chiseled jaw, says, oh, no, Clark. And Lois says, wait, Clark? Where?
Yeah. She slips up a few times, Ma
yep.
Kent, which is kind of, this is cool, because I don't think we've had cartoons other than X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a cartoon have a ongoing storyline that evolves like this.
Yeah, this is a little more serialization than we're used to.
Yeah.
I mean, I assume, because, listen, if we don't get a follow-up to this episode where Lois very clearly knew Superman's secret identity... From this point forward, I'm about to give up on this show. Like, you know, the whole secret identity thing is always ridiculous. You go with it because it's part of the show, but you can't play with me this way. You cannot reset to the status quo after this.
But, this is something that, you know, if you've been watching along with us, we've always kind of skirted with the flirtation.
Yeah.
But now we're starting to get hints that, like, oh, this Superman and Clark Kent might be one and the same. But luckily, Lois, that goes over her head.
I'm not sure that it does. She doesn't make a big deal out of it in the moment.
Okay.
But my read is she is taking copious mental notes from this point forward. Like, wait, you just said some shit. I'm gonna turn this around in the old Lois brain. We'll see. That'll be for future weeks. In the meantime, there's so much more punching. We're punching into the sewer or the subway rather.
Yeah, you get a cool fight scene on that. I was thinking of The Matrix.
Yeah, I can see it.
There's a train coming.
Yep.
And of course, there's innocent people on the train, and Kalibab is like, ah, who cares? Who cares?
Innocent people are jerks. I hate them and want them all to die.
I want daddy's love. And
yeah.
So luckily he gets knocked onto the electrical...
Yeah, the third rail.
Yeah. And that shocks him so much that he goes unconscious. Superman grabs him and, you know, flies out of the way just in the nick of time as the train goes by. Back up to the top layer of the city.
Yep, where finally it looks like Superman might be able to save Pa Kent. And did you notice now that they're back at street level, there are first responders on the scene now.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Now there's like police lines and there are firefighters, all of whom stand there and do nothing to save Pa Kent because there's a superpowered alien fight going on and that old man can die in that restaurant. I'm not missing this.
Although if we put ourselves in those shoes, I'd probably be staring at the alien fight too.
I mean, that's why I'm not a first responder.
Yeah.
I know my own worth as a human being.
I get distracted so easily. I'm not going to be paying attention to Pa Kent dying in a building. I'll watch the punchy punch. But
I just this morning, I had to sit through a guy from County Risk Management came by the community center so we could talk about, like, evacuation strategies and what if there's a fire, what if there's an active shooter situation, blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, I'm out. Those kids can fend for themselves. Sorry.
Sorry. It's, hey, you know.
If it's an alien punch fest, no, okay. A fire, I've seen fires. I'll get the kids out of there. Active shooter situation, I've seen crazy people. We'll get the kids out of there. An alien punch fest, you kids are going to have to fend for yourselves.
That's the line that's drawn, right?
Yep.
So
it's the law.
Superman grabs the boy.
Calibac.
And throws him up in the air.
Yeah, well, Calibac says, he's getting punched around, and he has a flashback of Darkseid expressing his disappointment. And Calibac says something about father, and Superman says, father? Why did you say that name? No,
yeah.
That's a different thing. But he's like, oh yeah, I've got a dad, and apparently that gives him the power to have better kung fu. Yeah, like, it's been a pretty even fight up until this point, but the word father unlocked Superman's ultra kung fu, and he's doing, like, the Neo no-look blocking of all the punches for a second there,
yeah.
Before, yeah, throwing Calibac up into the air, saving Pa Kent, and there he's, you know, got him over his shoulder, they're limping outside, and gets him back to Ma Kent and Lois, and says, okay, I gotta take care of this, and flies away. Lois says, I will never get used to seeing that. And Pa Kent says, yeah, me neither.
Yep.
And once again, you can see Lois taking notes like, wait, when have you from Kansas, where Superman is not active, seen this before? Hold on.
Maybe just seeing reports on the TV.
Could be.
News.
I mean, perfectly plausible explanation, but I don't think that's what Lois is thinking.
Superman goes to where he threw Calibac, which is kind of like in the park area.
Yep.
You get another boom tube, and out comes Darkseid. He's like, hey, what'd I say? Don't go to Earth.
Yeah.
I'll zap you.
Calibac says, but I just wanted to prove how good I am by killing Superman. And Darkseid says, oh, how's that going?
Well, I hit a
eye lasers!
And disappears. I assume teleported, maybe, because he says he's going to punish him. He's going to scream louder later.
I think we're to understand he probably got teleported to the slavery room.
Okay.
But, I mean, we're not sure. He goes, and Superman's not sure. He sees this and says, wait, what did you do? What did you just do to him? Who the heck are you?
Darkseid says nothing.
Yep.
Nothing at all. And Superman don't like that.
No, he's demanding answers, and Darkseid gives him his answer with more eye lasers.
And, Superman is stunned. Obviously, it hurts, but he starts walking towards him, and Darkseid has to kind of squint a little harder.
Yep.
But then, ultimately, Darkseid does get the better of him and zaps him so much that he falls down to the ground.
Yep. Darkseid says, hey, your planet sucks, you're a bunch of primitives, and you're gonna bow to me, Darkseid. Peace! And
to be continued, yes.
Yeah. And, we get another extra little scene with Darkseid and Desaad back on Apocalypse. Desaad asking, why didn't you just kill him right there?
Why don't you just kill him?
To be continued, that's why.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go get a gun, we'll shoot him together. It'll be fun. Bang! Dead. Done.
The whole time I was thinking, why doesn't Desaad go to the slavery furnace island?
One more peep out of you and you are grounded, mister, and I am not joking.
Yeah.
with the whips and all that good stuff.
It's true. He's failed twice. He, you know, he phrased
it. And he put his son in danger. Messenger.
That's true, too. Well, he claims to Darkseid, he says, I told him not to go. I was just about to tell you.
All right.
Yeah, I didn't. I agree with you, though. Darkseid should be smarter than that. Desaad should be chilling in the slavery pits, too.
Well.
But anyway, thus ends Father's Day.
Yes.
Kenny, did this episode hold up?
It is an important episode. It's not my favorite because it's kind of simple, but I do think this is a good episode in the sense that you need it for future events.
I thought this episode was not great.
Okay.
Ma and Pa Kent were both really dumb, letting all kinds of hints slip about Clark's secret identity. We had Kalibak was just kind of a nothing character. I want Daddy to love me.
Yep.
Darkseid at the end, like, decides he got a point. Probably should have just killed Superman right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the plot didn't really hold together. It was going for some kind of thematic parallels and relevance with the fatherhood thing, which I don't think that really worked.
As soon as the episode started, I remembered it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, I do remember this episode. Because we were talking last week. We were not sure what this one was.
Yeah.
So it did stick with me in the sense that I remembered it as a kid. I do think you need this one for future episodes.
Yeah,
but like you said, it's...
It sets some stuff up that I remember being good, so we'll get to that when we get to it.
Yes.
I will say that the voice work in this episode was pretty good across the board.
Yeah.
You've
got...
Yeah, Michael Dorn is a pleasure. I would listen to that man talk to me about shampoo. And have!
Neutrogena T-Gel. It works.
We've talked about this before. The Ninja Turtle cartoon from 2012 ran for 5 seasons. He's the voice of one of the Triceratons, which is like the alien invader.
Right.
Kind of like... Well, I'm sure you've seen pictures of the Triceratons. His voice is just perfect for these, like...
Oh, yeah.
Buff... gravelly, you know, like, I'll destroy you and you'll bow before me. He's got that perfect voice for it.
Yep.
So you should watch that cartoon.
So yeah, he's great. I'm blanking on Darkseid's voice actor.
I don't remember
it's,
either.
Michael Ironside.
Oh, for real?
I'm pretty sure. Hold on, I'll be good podcast Ben and check real quick because I'm going to feel like an idiot if I get it wrong.
No, that sounds about right. I mean, if we're wrong, we're wrong. Who cares?
Yes, Michael Ironside. Okay. I knew it had iron in it, and my brain kept trying to go to Jeremy Irons.
Gotcha.
But I didn't think that was right.
Also a very good actor as well.
Jeremy, I would love it if he showed up.
Maybe he does.
For all you or anyone else knows. But, I noticed the music, too, was...
I didn't even remember the music.
I remember there was a lot of it. And I wish that it had settled down into some sort of leitmotif. Like, I thought it really called attention to itself and not in a very good way.
I did enjoy the different interactions with the set pieces. I like how he gets thrown into a china shop and he screams so loud that everything in there that's glass breaks.
Yeah.
I like the subway fight. I like the ventriloquist as a host.
That was great.
Yeah, you know, it's got some fun set pieces.
Yeah.
But.
All right. Well, it sounds like what we really ought to do right now is break down our own set pieces with some science.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a disciple of science.
Gotta shake off the cobwebs a little bit. Do a little.
It's only been a week. Yeah. You know, you're right.
It's been a busy week. So
that's true. It's been a heck of a week. Okay, so we can take a moment before the science segment. So this is the first episode that we've recorded. It'll be a couple weeks in the past, but Rip Ed Asner.
Oh, yes. That happened this week, whenever. This is early September.
Yeah, so, Ed Asner, classic actor, has passed on. He was the voice of Roland Daggett in Batman the Animated Series. That's where... our podcast has interacted with him. It will not be the last time we hear his voice on this program. He plays a couple of other characters.
The Superman, he plays like a Mother...
Granny Goodness.
Granny Goodness, that's
right. Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
But, I mean, obviously you'll know him from other things. Up, The Spider-Man animated series.
Yep. The Freakazoid, Mary Tyler Moore show Mary Tyler. With You're Basically Dead.
I mean, he was an actor before...
Yeah,
voice acting kind of called him, so...
Yep.
Yeah, R.I.P. Ed Asner.
Yes, indeed. But in the meantime, Kenny, we've got this list of 24 episodes.
I'm ready.
Let's read the list.
Oh, lab coat's on.
Oh, right, we got it. Jeez, I screwed up. I put the sad segment inside the science segment, and I screwed
it
the whole
important.
Thing.
It was important. For an actor like Ed Asner, it's important.
It's true, but you know what? For Ed, let's put our lab coats on.
And our pants is off. R.I.P.
All right.
Okay, here's our big master list of 24 episodes. Mixie Pixelated, Last Son of Krypton, Target, Little Piece of Home, Prometheon, Identity Crisis, Brand New Metropolis, Fun and Games, The Way of All Flesh, Blast from the Past, Tools of the Trade, Solar Power, My Girls, Stolen Memories, Feeding Time, Speed Demons, Main Man, Monkey Fun, Ghost of the Machine, Livewire, Choose a Crowd, Double Dose, Action Figures, Mummies Alive, rah, 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 rah.
Well done, sir. Oh, that's the first time... I think that's the first time I heard you do that, like, sharp intake of breath before you started.
Yeah.
It's 24. It's starting to get there. It's starting to get a little long.
I used to be a smoker, so I don't have quite the lungs that you do there, Ben.
All right.
Don't smoke, kids.
Yeah. Vape. It's the way of the future.
Listen to your Uncle Kenny.
Yeah.
And watch your drinking, too.
Yeah. All right. RNGesus wants to know, is Father's Day better or worse than number 14, Stolen Memories? That's the Brainiac episode.
Wow. That is some cool, futuristic-looking spaceship stuff with aliens. And
yeah.
It was in the desert and...
Yeah.
Missiles. And, you know, I'm going to go with Stolen Memories.
I'm going to concur. Kind of broadly similar plots, invasion from space, but I like the aesthetic. I like the more 50s day the Earth stood still. You know, there's the military there. It felt more like a, whoa, this is an event. This is first contact.
Yeah.
As opposed to, oh... Some guy showed up to punch Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by now it's happened so often, it's become routine.
Yeah. And just before we started recording, we were having a little conversation. It's going to be kind of hard to milk this one because, honestly, it's just a big punch fest. Yep. There's nothing wrong with that, but not a whole lot of terribly interesting stuff happens in this episode.
Yeah, they were going for some stuff with the whole father theme, and I just don't think they got there.
No.
All right. In that case, is Father's Day better or worse than number 17? Speaking of a guy shows up to punch Superman, it's the main man. It's Lobo.
I'm going to go main man.
I'm going to agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an interesting villain. He's not my favorite, but at least he's... I mean, he's extreme, dude. He's got some attitude. Whoa!
We got more weird, fun alien character designs in that one. We got Emperor Spooge in that one.
Yeah.
Him, they call Spooge.
How often do we get to talk about Spooge?
Not nearly often enough.
So, moving on.
That's it. You know what, Darkseid? You need to step up your game, because Emperor Spooge, he's coming for your title, man.
It's a great name.
It is. All right. In that case, is Calibac and his wacky pals better or worse than number 23, Action Figures? That's Metallo and the Volcano.
I think this one is better than that one.
Yeah, I'm going to concur. And they're close, honestly, but even at his worst, Darkseid's mere presence and that the hints at an arc plot to follow make it more interesting than
Darkseid had just disguised himself in a trench coat and a hat. I think we would have a tiebreaker.
I think that would be the perfect episode.
But ultimately,
even
so,
even without Darkseid in a trench coat and a hat but no pants, I think I would still give it to Father's Day.
I can't say this all the time, but if you introduce kids, plucky kids sidekicks,
yes,
usually I'm going to roll my eyes. And this one had that. So, there you go.
Yep. All right. So, congratulations, Father's Day. You finally beat something out. But let's see if Father's Day is better or worse than number 20, Livewire. Ugh. That's a hard one, because I don't particularly like either episode, but for such different reasons. Like, Livewire was just kind of... there wasn't a whole lot of there. And this one was at least trying for something, but also you had characters acting stupidly to move the plot forward, which bothers me.
I don't know if this is going to sway you or anything, but I liked the... we get a nice look at the design of the planet of Apocalypse.
Yeah, that's fair.
But that's like really the only thing I can throw it out there.
Yeah.
I think Livewire is more charismatic than pretty much every character in this one that we just watched.
Yeah.
Michael Dorn, nothing against him. It's just he's reading what was given to him.
Yeah. I mean, he did a fine job. He's just given a one-note character to play. Yeah. And, you know, likewise, Michael Ironside, always amazing as Darkseid. But unfortunately, Darkseid, as he's written in this episode, is just such a stock 90s. It shows up and then pieces out for no reason because to be continued. Crap, yeah, I think I'd give it to Livewire.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It feels bad when this is, like, part of the arc plot that I was looking forward to in revisiting this show. But, I don't know, Tools of the Trade was really good, and obviously all these Apocalypse, you know, Darkseid and his retinue, they're coming back. We're going to see more of them. So I'm going to hope that those future Darkseid episodes live up to my recollections. But let's see. Is this one going to be better or worse than number 22, Double Dose? That was Parasite and Livewire hanging out.
I think this one is better than that one.
Yeah, I'm going to concur.
It's a really dumb pair up.
Yeah.
This one, at least, there's only one villain. And even though it's simplistic, Double Dose is just kind of crammed together with stupid...
Yeah. I had to think about it for a second. I had to cast my mind back. Because I remember Double Dose did have some pretty good action set pieces. But weight against that was a whole lot of stupid.
The whole time, Parasite wants to touch her.
Yeah.
Take her powers. And she's like, no. But then she still keeps working with the dude.
Yep. And then finally he touches her. And this one time she can't zap him away for some reason. Yeah. Nope. Okay, yep. When you break it down with science, I concur.
Which is what we're all about, science.
Yes. Okay, now we have but one decision left to make. Is Father's Day better or worse than number 21, Two's a Crowd? And that was Parasite and Man What Live in Parasite Head.
I think this one's better than that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to concur.
You get a ticking clock, which is always fun, but... Yeah. It never really felt like a ticking clock. It never felt like, oh, that thing's going to explode and we've got to be on our fast, urgent. No, he had time to talk to Hamilton.
Yeah. Also, it did explode. I mean, it was a pretty big... it wasn't like a level Metropolis explosion like they'd been building it up to.
In like this underground railroad...
It was the lead mine so that Superman's vision...
Yeah.
I'm going to concur. I'm marking it down. Father's Day is the new number 21, just below Livewire and just above Two's a Crowd.
I got to be honest, I thought it'd be a little higher than that.
I thought it would too, but that's why we got to test it with science.
I'm a little disappointed.
I am too.
Because as a kid, I remember this one several times being aired. I mean, obviously syndication.
Yeah. And yeah, this was like the big hype up. you know, oh man, Superman beat up that guy, but that other guy's even stronger, dude.
He beat up Superman and he left him? Oh man, ooh. I wonder what happens next.
And once again, Michael Dorn gets stuck playing the guy who gets beat up to show how strong the villain of the week is. Poor Michael Dorn, always the jobber.
I like him as in Triceraton. He tells all the everybody on Earth, because the Krangs are, and he's like, good news! I'm going to save you from the Krang. I'm going to destroy your Earth, but that will destroy the Krang too. So, see, it's good news. And the way he presents it is like, well, that sucks. He's going to kill us all, but at least we won't have Krangs anymore. So,
yep. Well, let's see what we'll have more of next week. It won't be Krangs.
No, but it's a big one.
It's a big one. Next week is the three-parter, the world's finest. It's the big crossover, the first meeting in this particular universe and continuity between Superman and Batman.
It's the show you've been waiting for.
Yep. There's gonna be some Joker in it. Yeah. I hear tell there's gonna be some Harley Quinn in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there's gonna be love triangle stuff with Bruce and Lois Lane and Clark Kent.
That's right.
And there's a big, like, giant plane that the Joker spray paints to make it look like a smile.
Oh man,
it's a good one. As
don't,
I recall,
don't show all the best scenes in the teaser. We got to give people something to come back for.
Yeah,
but in the meantime. Where can they come back to find you on the internet?
You can find me at Wyski TV on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
And you can find me at HBI2K on Twitter or twitch.tv/BenCreighton. And you can always find the two of us right here at anchor.fm/superrankings, where you can pledge us $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can subscribe on your podcatcher of choice. You can leave us a voice message. You can leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or probably other places. I don't know.
Or just tell a friend. Get the word out. We appreciate everything. You are the best of the best. Thank you, listeners.
Yes, you are the world's finest audience.
Hey, segue!
You can come join us for the world's finest superheroes next week with World's Finest.
Yeah!
Bye, everybody!
Bye!